So we're still in the aftermath, if you will, of the Yotiv of Shavuos. According to some poskim, that if one had not said Shechayanu on Shavuos, so you could still make it up during the week, during the next few days of to follow. There's a din that if a person doesn't bring a carbon on Shavuos, he can make it up the next few days. So we're still in the Tashlumim. We're still in the Tekufa, the Zman, of the Yontiv of Shavuos. So I want to talk about a little bit Matan Torah. And in particular, David HaMelech's yard site, the Yishalmi tells us, is on Shavuos. And more than that, many people are learning Daf Yomi. And the sugyas we find ourselves in right after Shavuos are the sugyas of Matan Torah. So it would have been nicer had the Daf Yomi sugyas would have been either before or on the Yontiv of Shavuos. But still, we're in the days that follow. We're still in that same Bechina of Shavuos through the Daf Yomi sugyas. So I want to talk about David HaMelech, Matan Torah, and the Yontiv of Shavuos. So firstly, Reb Tzadok writes that whenever a certain piece of Agadah appears in a Masechta, there's a reason. So the sugya of Matan Torah, the Agadah, is the stories of Moshe Rabbeinu going up, and the Cheder Egel, and the forcing of the mountain, Har Kigigis. So these sugyas appear in Masechta Shabbos. So Reb Tzadok asks the question, why do certain Agadahs appear in certain Masechtas? What's the connection? So what's the connection of the Yontiv of Shavuos and Masechta Shabbos? So the Gemara tells us that when Klal Yisrael is a Nasev and Nishma, that they were willing to be makabel the Torah, they'll do anything that the Torah says, even before they actually heard, Nasev and Nishma. So the Malachim came down and they had placed crowns, two crowns on the heads of every member of Klal Yisrael. Every single Yid had a Nasa crown and had a Nishma crown, Nasev and Nishma. And the Gemara goes on to explain that when they performed the Cheder Egel, so Malachim came down and stripped the entire nation of their Nasev and Nishma crowns. They lost their Nasev and Nishma crowns. And Moshe Beinu was wearing all 1.2 million crowns of Nasev and Nishmas. And the Gemara describes how he had this certain aura, this light on his face from all the crowns that he wore. So Chazal teach us that although we lost our Nasev and Nishma crowns, they were taken away from us at Kabbalah Satorah, every Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu gives us our Nasev and Nishma crowns. On Shabbos, we wear a certain crown. The Malachim come, Moshe Rabbeinu comes and gives us the Nasev and Nishma crowns. So there's a certain element of Kabbalah Satorah on Shabbos. Every single Shabbos, Nasev and Nishma. We celebrate Kabbalah Satorah. We celebrate the receiving of the Matana of Shabbos that was given to us at Har Sinai. So it makes total sense now why we celebrate, we discuss the sugya, the Agadah of Shavuos, of Matan Torah, in Masechta Shabbos. But I think we could dig a little bit deeper of this connection between Shabbos and the Yontiv of Shavuos. So the Yerushalmi mentions that the Yard site of David HaMelech took place on Shavuos. But we get a little bit of a different report, not a steer, we'll explain that's all possible to be the same. But the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed, shares with us an incredible dialogue between David HaMelech and the Ribono Shalom. And there David HaMelech is busy negotiating when he's going to die. He wants to know when he's going to die. And so the Gemara there says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells David, I don't tell anyone, I can't reveal to anyone the day he dies. And even though David says, Hodi'eini Hashem ki tzeyamav, let me know the end of my days. Says Hashem, there's a gzeira milafana, we have a gzeira, she'ein modin kitel shel basar v'dam, I don't tell people when they're going to die. So then David HaMelech says, okay, at least tell me which day of the week I'm going to die. At least which day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So he says, you're going to die on Shabbos. So David says, well, please, I want to die on a Sunday. I don't want to die on a Shabbos. Let me die on the Echad B'Shabbos, a Sunday. So Hashem says, it can't be. You can't die on Sunday. Because the time has arrived to give Malchus Shlomo, your son, his time to rule comes. There ain't Malchus Nogas B'Chaverta. We can't have kingdoms overlap with each other. So we can't delay your kingdom another day. So then David pleads, well, let me die on a Friday. Erev Shabbos, because if I die on Shabbos, I'm not going to get the proper burial, the proper covered hameis, and the hespedim. Let me die on an Erev Shabbos. And Hashem says, I can't take a day away from you, David HaMelech, to have you die one day earlier. One day of your Osek v'Torah is greater than 1,000 Olos, 1,000 Karbanos of your son Shlomo. Your learning is so dear to me. And so the Gemara goes on to describe the death of David HaMelech, who was on Shabbos. Took place on Shabbos. And the Yerushalmi says it took place on Shavuos. And of course, this is not a contradiction, because it could happen that Shabbos and Shavuos could coincide. That Shavuos could be chal on Shabbos. So David HaMelech represents the Yontif of Shavuos, and he also represents the day of the week of Shabbos. Because Shabbos and Shavuos are very connected. Because each of us get that crown, those crowns that were stripped from us by Chayda Egel, the Nasa V'Nishma. But I think there's more. To understand the life of David HaMelech, and these two Yortites, if you will, the Yortite of Shabbos and the Yortite of Shavuos, I think there's deeper we could dig. See, there's a Zohar that tells us, if we understand the life of David HaMelech, see, Adam HaRishon was created in the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given him the Sefer of Adam, Seder of Toldos Adam, which speaks about all of history that was to come. And when Adam HaRishon peered into the Sefer, he came across the life of the Tzaddik David HaMelech. And he saw that David HaMelech was born and didn't live. He died at birth. So Adam HaRishon says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will donate 70 years of my life. And Adam lived to 930 years. He was supposed to live 1,000 years, a full 1,000 years. But he donated 70 years to give to David HaMelech, thereby giving David HaMelech some life in this world. But there's another statement, I believe it's from the Arizal, that says David HaMelech got his life from a different source. And his source came from the Avos. The Avos dedicated their lives. How so? So it's a little bit of math. I'll try to take it slow to bring the calculation here. But the Arizal, I believe it's the Arizal again. I'm going to refer to it as the Arizal, but I think it's the Arizal. That each of the Avos and the children were supposed to live to the amount of years of their father. So for example, Avram lived to 175. Yitzchak Avinu lived to 180. So he surpassed his father in Arichas Yam. Then came along Yaakov Avinu, lived 147 years. That's 33 years shorter than Yitzchak. He was supposed to live to 180. He shaved off 33 years and reserved it. Then came Yosef Tzadik, who was one of the Avos. That's for another time. He lived 110. 37 years short of his father Yaakov. 37 plus 33 extra years is 70. The Avos, says that Rizal, dedicated 70 years to bring life to David. So who was it? Was it Adam HaRishon dedicating 70 years? Or was it a combination of Yosef and Yaakov in their lives giving 70 years? Which one was it? So David HaMelech seemed to have lived two lives. Two Yartzeit, a Shabbos and a Shavuos. 70 years from Adam, 70 years from the Avos. So how are we to understand these two lives of David HaMelech? So we'll return back to David HaMelech at the end of Mirta Hashem. There's a Medrash that tells us that Rabbi Akiva was once giving a shir. And this shir was no different than any other shir that takes place in 2020, Tavshin Samaches, Tavshin Pei, where by the Talmidim are falling asleep. And Rabbi Akiva was giving a drasha. Talmidim were dozing off. And he wanted to wake them up. He wanted to excite them. Something new. So he says, you know what? You know why Esther Malka was zocha to rule over 127 Medinos? He said something very strange. Because Sari Imenu lived to 127 years. And that was a drasha. That was his attempt to wake them up. 127 years of Sari Imenu translated into 127 Medinos of Esther Malka. So what's the connection of 127? They were sleeping, you're trying to wake them up. So there's an incredible Chassam Sofer, which is based on a Gemara in tomorrow's daf. Shabbos Peites. The Gemara says that when calculating the life of a person, the Pasuk says man lives for 70 years, Shivim Shana. But the truth is the first 20 years of his life is not part of the calculation because we don't get punished under the age of 20. So that gives 50 years left. Then he says that half a person's life is he's sleeping. So that's 25 years. Cut 15 to 25. And then he says, in addition to that, people eat and they learn and they daven and they go to the bathroom. All this, there's left 12 and a half years that you're awake. That's all. 12 and a half years. So the Torah's Moshe, Chassam Sofer, explains that that's true of a regular person. But a tzaddik, a tzaddikes, they live bein bayom, bein balayla. They don't sleep at nighttime. He says, the sleep of a tzaddik, the ideas, the thoughts, the dreams, that's hakol l'shem shemayim. See, even the sleep balayla is a fulfillment of avodas Hashem. V'atakam ba'o layla, we say in Eishes Chayil. That sari meinu and all the tzidkanios, v'atakam ba'o layla, they're up at night, whether they're awake or not awake, but they're up. They sleep to serve Hashem. They sleep to wake up to daven. They sleep to wake up to learn. Or even the sleep itself has incredible value. So in essence, says the Chassam Sofer, tzaddik has two lives. Double the life of everyone else. A life bayom and a life balayla. To understand this a little bit, you know, it's fascinating that Chassam Sofer says this idea. I'll elaborate just in a moment, but a story about the Chassam Sofer. So I read in the biography, the article's biography, last year, about the Chassam Sofer. He was a very, very big Eloi, as a young child. At the age of 10 or 11 or so. So his father would put him to sleep sometimes, and instead of telling him a bedtime story, he would actually raise a tzarech in, a kasha in learning. A tzarech in he didn't know the answer to. Rabbi Kiva Eger, whatever the question would be. And he'd have Chassam Sofer fall asleep thinking about that question. Oftentimes, he'd wake up in the morning, and the Chassam Sofer would wake up in the morning with an answer. Because the tzaddik, the Chassam Sofer, his neshama went up to the yeshiva shamala, the base medrash shamala, all our neshamas go there, we just are not attuned to it. The Chassam Sofer was awake when he was asleep. And so his neshama ascended up to Shemaim, and they were talking about this sugya, and he woke up in the morning, it's a 10-year-old boy with an answer for his father, often. So the Chassam Sofer, Sari Meinu, these great tzaddikim tzikanios, even Balayla, but talking about Laila, they would be up. And so says the Chassam Sofer, when it says in Parshas Chayesara, Shnei Chayesara, the years of Chayesara was 127. Shnei doesn't only mean years, it also means two. Chayesara lived Shnei Chayesara, she had two lives, one by Yom and one by talking about Laila. And Rabbi Kiva was trying to show his Talmidim that you know why Sari Meinu was Zocha to have her great-great-granddaughter inherit 127 Medinos? Because she lived two lives. One when she was awake, and one when she was sleeping. And the dreams, the thoughts, the aspirations turned into 127 Medinos for Esther Malka. That was the second life of Sari Meinu. I think you could apply this Chassam Sofer to David HaMelech as well. He had two lives, 70 years from Adam HaRishon, 70 years from the Avos. A life he lived by Yom, a life he lived by Laila. And we know this about David HaMelech. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us that David HaMelech is describing a person shouldn't sleep during the daytime, and some say even by Laila. And you shouldn't sleep more than a sleep of a sus by Yom, Sheinas Asus. And how long is a Sheinas Asus, asks the Gemara in Sukkah, Vavim Rebez? Shisin Nishme, 60 breaths. And Abayi says that the years of, he goes on to have a whole connection, but in the end he says, David HaMelech slept like a sus. Only 60 neshamos, only 60 breaths. Even Balayla, explained the Mefarshim. 60 breaths, Zehu. David didn't sleep. He woke up, Bechatzas HaLayla, to go serve Hashem, just like Sari Meinu, but talking about Layla. So the life of a tzaddik is two. It's bayom, it's balayla. And that's why Shavuos, the Yartzeit of David HaMelech, we stay up all night learning. To replicate, to emulate David HaMelech, who stayed up every night learning. Because these were the double lives of David HaMelech, Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla. Rabbi Akiva, who tried waking up his Talmidim, knew this very well. He knew this very, very well. In fact, Rabbi Akiva, the pre-tzaddik, points out, his name was Akiva ben Yosef. Akiva ben Yosef, because he came from the Shorish of Yaakov Avinu. Akiva is a Lashon of Yaakov Avinu. And ben Yosef, he also came from Yosef HaTzaddik. Both Yaakov and Yosef were dreamers. They slept and they had dreams. Yaakov had the dream of the ladder. Yosef had his dreams, because these were tzaddikim who lived even by Laila. Rabbi Akiva knew what it meant for these Talmidim to sleep. They were sleeping. He understood the value of Shayna. But there's a time to sleep and there's a time to be awake. Rabbi Akiva understood what it meant to dream. And he also knew what it meant to fulfill those dreams. So there's an incredible akdama to one of the Rishonim, the Sefer Or Zeruah. Or Zeruah was written by a great Rishonim, his name was Rabbi Yitzchak. Now, we have a Mesorah. The Sefer Rukeach describes that when a person writes a Sefer, I know my in-laws are, I think, watching here somewhere, so I've got a brother-in-law who has a Sefer. It's called Ginas Reuven, because his name is Reuven. Reuven Schwartz. So you normally hint your name, your Merame is your name in the name of the Sefer. It goes back to even the times of the Rishonim. So the Or Zeruah was one of the very important Ashkenaz Rishonim, but his name Rabbi Yitzchak is not hinted at in the name Or Zeruah. So from where did the Or Zeruah get his name? Why did he name the Sefer Or Zeruah? So he tells us why in the Hakdama, a very short Hakdama. And he explains that he once had a vision, a dream of some sort about the following. He had the suffix. He wasn't sure how to write the name Akiva. If you look in the Bavli, Akiva's name is spelled Ayin Kuf Yud Vez Aleph. Take a look in the Yushalmi, it's spelled Ayin Kuf Yud Vez He. So he wasn't sure, and it's very important how to write a name for Ksuba and for Gittin. You need to know how to write names. He wasn't sure. And so Rabbi Yitzchak, this great Rishon, had a dream, a vision. And the Pasuk appeared to him, Or Zeruah LaTzadik U'Lishrei Lev Simcha. And it became clear to him that the Sofei Tevos, outside of Or, we'll mention that in just a second as a side point, Zeruah, the Sof Teva, is Ayin. Zeruah, Or Zeruah LaTzadik is a Kuf, U'Lishrei is a Yud, Lev is a Bez, Simcha He. In other words, the Sofei Tevos of Or Zeruah LaTzadik U'Lishrei Lev Simcha is Akiva Ayin Kuf Yud Vez He. And because of this vision that he had, the Simon, he wanted to celebrate and show Kar Zatov, he named his Sefer Or Zeruah, Or Zeruah. Because of this vision, a Paskin, to spell the name with Akiva and Hey at the end. Now, parenthetically, it's fascinating that he was not a Kabbalist that we know. He wasn't a Chassid. He was a regular Posek, a Rav. And yet, he Paskin based on such a vision. So we have to question, how could that be? We know Lo B'Shemayim, we don't trust dreams, we don't trust Simanim. So we have similar cases, we have other great tzaddikim who also had such visions. The Chassam Sofer himself, he once wanted the Paskin that if a person, let's say, had fleishiks. I know I went to camp, you have late night barbecues at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you wake up fleishiks still, and you couldn't have breakfast. So the Chassam Sofer suggested, he felt, that if a person goes to sleep, so the neshama goes up to Shemayim, and the neshama is brought back down in the morning. He's a new person. Everything's reset. He's a new life. Elokai neshama. So you don't have to wait 6 hours when you go to sleep. Either the metabolism works faster, or spiritually we're a bria chadasha, and there's no reason to wait 6 hours. And he paskin this way. So after he figured out this psak, the next morning, after being fleishiks, he has his cup of coffee, and he's ready to pour his milk. And he spills either the coffee or the milk. And he took this at the Siman Min Shemayim, they shouldn't paskin this way. He said, know what? Forget it, Lo Plug, you need to wait 6 hours whether or not you slept. But he took this as a Siman from Shemayim, Lo B'Shemayim, how could he take that? And another example, we have the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon. He wanted to reinstitute Birkas Kohanim in Chutzlartz for Ashkenazim. In Eretz Yisrael, which is a place of Simcha, there's always, you have to be Shruya B'Simcha. To give a bracha, you need to be in the state of simcha. So in Eretz Yisrael, they have simcha. Every minute has a birchas kohanim every single day. In Chutz La'aretz, only the svardim, not the Ashkenazim. It's another topic about the svardim being besimcha and Ashkenazim not being besimcha. I once saw a funny comedy routine of a guy, a Jewish guy, I don't think he's religious, but making fun of how, you know, like an Ashkenazi, when you get a Leah, or you say, Shkoyach, Shkoyach, Shkoyach. Like a very morbid, well done. The Svardim is like, Chazak Baruch, all the brachas in the world, all the excitement. The Svardim love Slichos. They love, for a whole month, an Ashkenazi can never stand for more than a week of Slichos. We can't stand the 1 week, let alone a whole month. Svardim love Slichos. Everything's besimcha. They're singing, they're blowing the shofar. So, whenever, however that works, Svardim are Bechina Simcha, so they can do Birchas Kohanim. Ashkenazim, we can't. That's in a deeper understanding of how the nature between Svardim and Ashkenazim, but the Gra wanted to one time reinstitute for the Ashkenazim, Birchas Kohanim, every single day. And so the day he was ready to put into place, he was taken by the authorities and thrown into jail, for no reason, of course. He took that as a siman min shemayim that he shouldn't reinstitute Birchas Kohanim. So we have people, so Rav Shurmbach speaks about some of these cases. Shurmbach says, normally we don't go based on simanim. Lo b'shemayim hi. But when you have great tzaddikim, like the Gra, and like the Chassam Sofer and others, or Zarua, so then they can take simanim, they can take hints from shemayim. So the Or Zarua had this siman from shemayim, that Or Zarua la tzaddik, Uli Shelev Simcha, was a remez to Akiva. Now the truth is, it wasn't just any Akiva, it was Rebbe Akiva. Because the Or, the Sof Teva of the Or, is Rebbe, Resh, is really Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva's yard site is Yom Kippur, when we say in Kol Nidre, Or Zarua la tzaddik, Uli Shelev Simcha. This is a reference to Rebbe Akiva. So it's no wonder that Dafka, through a vision, through a dream, that Rabbi Kiva's remez in the Tanakh appeared to the Or Zarua. Because Rabbi Kiva understood what it meant to be, to sleep, and to dream, and to have visions. That was Shnei Chayesara. That was the Chazam Sofer. That was the David HaMelech. To live Bayom and live Balayla. That was Rabbi Kiva. So now, we could take it one step further. Because the Gemara says that although in Shavuos we were makabel the Torah at Har Sinai, we were forced. Kaf olam harki gigis, we were taken with this mountain over our heads. If you don't accept it, you're going to be buried right there. We were forced into it. And the Gemara says, modar rabba, we had a great excuse. If we didn't listen to the HaTorah, we had a great excuse. We were forced. But then the Gemara says, afal pikin, even though that was the case, that we were initially forced into keeping the Torah, Amar Rava Afal Pikein Hodu, the Gemara says, Kibulu Bimei Achashverosh. We reaccepted the Torah during the times of Purim. Says Rashi, adds Be'ava Me'avas Anes, from the love of the Nes Hashem saved us, as it says in the Megillah, Kibu V'Kiblu HaYehudim Kibu Mashi Kiblu Kfar. We fulfilled that which we already accepted. So Purim was another Kabbalah Satorah, another moment where we had to wake up. Just like Shavuos night, we stay up all night learning. So to the story of Purim was that we were sleeping. That Haman, the Gemara tells us that he was saying that Klal Yisrael was sleeping. They were Shena, they were different than the rest of the nation. And the Gemara says we were busy sleeping, we were doing mitzvahs. But what changed in the Megillah? What was the turning point? Nodadu Shnas HaMelech. Melech HaChashverosh, as the Pashup Shat. And Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a deeper meaning. Nodad Shnas HaMelech, he'd begin to wake up from the slumber in the middle of the night. For Achashverosh, he started looking through the Sefer Zichronos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu began to remember us, waking up at night, like David HaMelech in the middle of the night. But Takam Bo Laila, like Sari Menu. So every time there's a Kabbalah Satorah, whether it be Shavuos, whether it be Purim, it requires staying up at night. Nodad Shnas HaMelech. Because in and of its tzaddik, and each of us have a Bechin of a tzaddik inside of us. The reason why we stay up at night Shavuos, and then Purim, some tzaddikim stay up at night Purim to learn, because we want to follow the paths of Chayesara, the paths of Rabbi Kiva, the paths of David HaMelech, who's Yoratai to Shavuos, as we said. To be up at night, Vatakim Ba'od Laila. So it's no coincidence to add further that when this whole storyline changed in Megillas Esther, Nadud Ashnas HaMelech, so Mordechai was the hero. And what animal was Mordechai riding? On a sus, an animal that doesn't sleep. The animal that David HaMelech is compared to sleeping, like a sus, just 60 breaths, that's it. Because that represents an animal, a behemoth, and also a tzaddik that doesn't sleep. Mordechai Tzaddik was on that sus that doesn't sleep. And furthermore, if you take the gematria of sus, it's 126 plus 1. In Makol, it's 127. And we know that every letter can be spelled out as a word. So Samech is spelled Samech, Memchav. Vav is Vav Vav. And the second Samech is Samech Memchav. So just like Sus, Samech Vav Samech is 126 plus 1, 127. The hidden letters of Memchav plus Vav plus Memchav is also 126. Imakol is 127. In other words, a Sus, a horse, has two lives. There's the 127 Samech Vav Samech, and then there's a hidden life. The letters that are behind each of those letters is another 127, which are the Shnei Chayesara, which are the Medinos of Esther Malka. So either way, we see what it's like. None of us are the level of David HaMelech, who could stay up all night. But at least when we're awake, we could be awake. When we sleep, we could sleep. But don't be sleeping like the Talmid and Rabbi Kiva when we're supposed to be awake. So I'll finish off one last ma'isa about a great tzaddik who was up at night as well. There's a ma'isa that took place in some city down in South America. And a lady came to the Rav. And the lady was very upset, of course, because her daughter was engaged to an anjou. And she didn't know what to do. So the Rav said, "Let me talk to your daughter." So he spoke to the daughter. And the daughter wasn't budging. The rabbi tried more and several times until it got to the point where the daughter said, "Rabbi, I had enough of you. Please don't call me ever again." And the mother begged the rabbi to do something. "Please save my daughter." So the rabbi didn't know what to do. He calls the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He speaks to his gabbai on the phone. He tells the gabbai what the problem is. And the rabbi tells the gabbai to tell the rabbi in South America, call the girl and meet her one last time. And tell her that there's a rabbi in New York who can't sleep because of you. And the gabbai hangs up. And the rabbi's thinking there, "Wait a second. That girl told me she doesn't want to talk to me ever again. How am I going to call her, number one? Number two is to tell her that there's a rabbi in New York who's up all night because of you. That's really strange." And then a second later, the rabbi's phone rings, picks up. It's the gabbai from the rebbe. And the rabbi says, "And when he tells you to do something, stop waiting. Do what he says." So, hangs up the phone. Rabbi calls up the girl and says, "Would you like to meet one last time?" And the daughter says, "I told you I don't want to talk to you again." And the rabbi says, "Please, just one last time." So the girl agreed, came to the house or the office, and they met. And the rabbi was very uncomfortable with what he was about to say to her, but he says, "You know, there's a rabbi in New York who can't sleep because of you." And she turned white. The girl turned white. She says, "What does this rabbi look like? Do you have a picture of him?" So she said, he said, "Yeah, actually, you do have a picture." And he takes out his wallet and shows a picture of the rabbi. And she says, "This rabbi has been appearing in my dream the past few nights, begging me that I don't marry this guy." And she was convinced, and she ended up breaking off the engagement. So there are some tzaddikim, some tzidkanios, Bavitcher Rebbe, Chassam Sofer, Rabbi Kiva, David HaMelech, sorry, mainly like we discussed, who are both awake by Yom and awake by Laila, but talking about Laila. You and I are not up by Laila, but at least when we're up during the day, we should be awake. Don't be sleeping by Yom. Make sure when it's daytime to be up and to be awake and to be alert, at least emulate them as much as they can during the day period, to the best we can to emulate them. So as we conclude the next few days of celebrating Shavuos, the last few days, the last few drips of Kedush of Shavuos, let's take it as moments of inspiration to really dedicate ourselves to learning, to davening, to chesed, and following the paths of those great tzaddikim. Everyone have a wonderful evening.